Gary Waldhorn in The Godwolf Manuscript, a radio adaptation from Robert B. Parker's novel.
Sidewalks, rain on the cabs. I spend most of my day feet on the desk looking out through the blinds. Nobody came in to ask me to find their missing diamonds. Nobody came staggering in with a package and knife wounds. Nobody bled, nobody cried, nobody said they were frightened, nobody said they were being followed, nobody said they wanted protection. Nobody hired me. It was a kind of ordinary day. Bills piled up and the coffee ran out. I made fresh with the old beans. It took me 10 minutes and several slugs of bourbon to recover from that. I felt better.
Hey, you big head, what do you think you're doing?
The big event was when a cab backed into the fender of a Chevy and the cabbie took a swing at the chauffeur. I thought the lady in the fur was on her way up to me. I was disappointed. Gray day had to give way to the night. Not dark night. Neon night. The bar across the way flashed its lights. I couldn't face the elevator, the wet street, the 200 steps up to my padlocked one-room cell. Stayed in my office with my bourbon to keep me company. I watched TV trying to damp down my high spirits. Then I got lucky. The phone rang.
My name is Forbes. Bradford.
Congratulations, Mr. Forbes. Is that why you phoned me, to tell me that?
I believe you are a private detective, Mr. Spencer.
So people tell me.
I have a problem. You may be able to help.
I'm listening.
It is a matter of the utmost delicacy, Mr. Spencer, requiring restraint, sensitivity, circumspection, and a high degree of professionalism. I do not know the usual people we employ.
Just give me the details, Mr. Forbes. I'll decide if I want to take the case.
I am afraid I cannot discuss it over the phone. You will have to come here, to the university.
Forbes was so uptight, he made breathing seem like a problem. Whatever it was, he made it sound like national security was at stake. I said I'd see him in the morning. I pulled the blind down and I slept the sleep of a guy who's just put away the best part of a bottle of bourbon. The morning was cold, very cold, but bright. I should have fixed a tear in the top of my car. I rode with a breeze of 1,000 exhausts in my face. Bradford W. Forbes lived in a large office as befits a university president. I was glad I took off my jacket before I fell asleep. It was hanging kind of nice. There was a tall guy leaning against a wall. Forbes sat behind an ocean liner desk, every bit the intellectual. Cold blue eyes, heavy glasses, and wearing a nice line in dark suits. Maybe I should have worn a tie. I'd been there for 20 minutes listening to him telling me about the sensitive nature of the matter in hand. He still hadn't told me anything. As he talked, Forbes swiveled his chair and stared at his reflection in the window. Snowflakes, the first of the season, flattened out against it, dissolved and trickled down on the white sill.
Would have to be done with all the professionalism.
Look, Dr. Forbes, I went to college. Once I don't wear my hat indoors, I eat with a knife and fork, and I only get drunk in private. Now, is there something you'd like me to detect, or are you just polishing up your elocution for next year's commencement?
District Attorney Frail told us you were somewhat overfond of your own wit. Tell him, Mr. Tower.
Carl Tower, head of campus security. Now, 4 days ago, a valuable 14th century illuminated manuscript was stole from our library.
Oh, an illuminated manuscript.
It's a handwritten book done by monks, usually with illustrations in color, often red and gold in the margins. This particular one was in Latin and contained an allusion to Richard Raleigh, the 14th century mystic. It was discovered 40 years ago behind an ornamental facade of Godwolf Abbey, the Godwolf manuscript.
All of that illuminated manuscript.
I can fill you in with the description and photos later, Spencer. Right now we want to sketch in the general picture. This morning, President Forbes received a phone call from someone purporting to represent a campus organization, unnamed. The caller said they had the manuscript and would return it if we would give $100,000 to a free-thinking school run by some off-campus group.
So, why don't you?
We don't have $100,000, Mr. Spencer.
Perhaps you could rent out the south end of your office for off-street parking.
All universities lose money. This one, large, urban, in some ways undistinguished, loses more than most. We do not have $100,000.
Can the thing be fenced?
No way. Its value is historical and literary. The only market would be another university, and they'd recognize it right off.
There is another problem, Mr. Spencer. The manuscript must be kept in a controlled environment, air-conditioned, proper humidity, that sort of thing. Should it be kept out of its case for too long, it'll fall apart. The loss to scholarship would be tragic. Can we count on you, Mr. Spencer? Can you get it back?
If you'll pay me and do your Pat O'Brien impression somewhere else, I'll see if I can find the manuscript.
I don't like you, Spencer.
I don't win many awards.
I'll take him to my office, Dr. Forbes, and lay it all out for him. I know how to deal with people like Mr. Spencer. Like how you can charm a client, Spencer. Sure, the old man likes to say his piece, but he's a damn good administrator. A damn fine person.
Okay, he's terrific. When I grow up, I want to be just like him. What about the Godwolf manuscript?
Here's a photo.
Pretty fancy. Pretty fancy.
Now, the manuscript was taken 3 nights ago from its case in the library's rare book room. The watchman clocked in there at 2. At 4, he found the case open and the manuscript gone. You want to talk to him?
No, that's routine stuff. You or the cops can do that. You got a suspect?
Skase.
Skase?
Yeah, Student Committee Against Capitalist Exploitation. Revolution at the far left fringe of the spectrum. It's the kind of thing they do. Okay, it's a gut guess, but I've spent a lot of time on radicals. I was in the Bureau for 10 years. I've developed a feel for them.
Like the director of the Bureau?
Ah, Hoover. One hell of a cop. They're like radicals everywhere. They're zealots. They want to change everything. They ain't satisfied with society.
Maybe they're right. It ain't Disneyland out there. Is it?
You a radical?
Where do I find Skase? They have a clubhouse.
Talk to their secretary. Terry Orchard. She's the least unpleasant of them.
What do you want?
Bring me
the
Skase file.
Yes, Mr. Tower.
We keep a file on all college organizations.
You pay as much attention to the football club?
We're not singling out Skase. We ain't persecuting nobody.
Just routine.
Exactly.
Nobody wants radicals messing up their nice routine.
The Skase file, Mr. Tower.
Oh, let me see here.
I don't think I caught the name.
Loring.
Your first name?
Miss.
Well, Miss Loring. You guessed my weight?
I wasn't trying to.
Well, the way you were looking at me.
The window, Mr. Spencer. Behind you. I was looking out at the snow.
You weren't looking at me?
No.
I'm disappointed.
I'm sure you can live with it.
Maybe we'll meet again.
I doubt it.
That's all.
Right, Mr. Tower.
Here's the sheet on Terry Orchard. Home address, Newton, Mass. College address, none. Transient.
Transient?
Yeah, she drifts. The real romantic radicals like to think of themselves as free floaters. They sleep on floors, sofas, you know. Seems she's shacked up with a guy named Dennis Powell, some kind of Skase official. She lived for a while over on Hemingway Street with a girl called Connolly, Catherine Connolly. That's all.
Got a picture?
Right here.
It wasn't good. Obviously an ID shot. Square face, rather thick lips, hair pulled back away from her face. She looked older than the 19 her file said she was. Most people do in ID shots. I reserve judgment. Where do I find her?
Your best bet would be to get her after class. Get Miss Loring to check the schedule on your way out.
One thing. Dr. Forbes telling me how hard up you are has made me kind of nervous. How about a retainer?
We'll mail it.
Express. Miss Loring had to call up the registrar's office to get me the information I needed.
Terry Orchard has a class in the psychology of repression that ends at 3. Hardin Hall.
What's it like working here, Miss Loring?
It's a job.
I like that. You enjoy working for your boss?
No comment.
I still like that.
What do you think of them?
No comment.
I liked her a lot. I walked across the quad to Hardin Hall. The snow fell light as a feather on my face. Students were changing classes, holding hands, and chasing each other. It was all going on. Room 409 had a blonde oak door with a window in it. Terry Orchard was there. Back row. She looked like kids I'd seen before, the real goods. She was better looking than her picture, but still looked older than 19.
I'm not going to one thing at all.
Excuse me. Miss Orchard?
Yes?
My name is Spencer, and I'd like to buy you lunch.
Why?
How about I'm a Hollywood producer casting for a new movie?
Get lost.
Here's my card.
A private eye. Oh, is that corny? Are you going to pull a gad on me? Did my old man send you?
Miss Orchard, look at it this way. You get a free lunch and half a million laughs afterwards talking to the gang back at the mall shop. I get a chance to ask some questions, and if you answer them, I'll even let you play with my handcuffs. If you don't answer them, you still get the lunch. Who else has been out with a private eye lately?
A pig is a pig, whether he's public or private. He works for the same people.
I work for myself. Your old man didn't send me. I'm cold, I'm hungry, and I'm too old to stand out in the snow.
Well, that's your problem.
I know damn well it would be easier to argue over lunch. My fingernails are clean, and I promise to use a silverware. I'm paying with establishment expense money. It's a chance to exploit them.
Got a two-ton hammer. Got me by the pound. I'm a Hollywood driving man. 6 foot solid from the ground.
She took me to a place that looked like a gas station. The bar was mostly empty in mid-afternoon. Tabletop was covered with initials scratched with penknives, and the upholstery was all torn. I'd been in better places.
You want anything with the beer?
You recommend anything, Terry?
The corned beef is okay.
We'll have a couple.
I got the order.
Couple of corn buns are pickles and fries.
I must remember this place. For that special occasion when I want to impress someone. Cheers.
Cheers.
You're under arrest. Drink your beer underage.
You're nowhere near as funny as you think you are, Mr. Spencer. What do you want?
I'm looking for the Godwealth manuscript. The university president himself called me in. Show me his profile, dazzle me with his elocution, and assign me to get it back. Tower, the campus cop, suggested you might help me.
Why did Super Swine think I could help?
He thought you could help because he thinks Skates took it. And you are secretary of that organization.
Why does he think Skates took it?
Because he has instinct for it. And maybe because he knows something.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Tell me about Skates then.
Why?
That's my line of work. I ask questions. Now and then things fall into place.
Well, there's nothing to fall into place here. We're a revolutionary organization. We're trying to develop a new consciousness. We're committed to social change, to redistribution of wealth.
We were interrupted. A tall, big-boned kid slid in beside the girl. He shook his long, blonde hair from his face, picked up a half-filled glass, and drained it. Have that one on me.
Who's this creep?
Dennis, be nice.
My name's Spencer.
I'm talking to her, not you, Jack. Shut up.
Listen, Goldilocks. I bought her a beer, you drank it. On my block, that entitled you to get your upper lip fattened.
You think maybe the long hair makes me soft?
Dennis, he's a private detective.
Pig!
He swung at me. I pulled my head out of the way and slipped out of the booth. The punch rammed against the wood.
Oh!
The kid swore and turned towards me.
Son
he wasn't
of a
planning
bitch.
To quit. I figured it better and fast. I fainted to his stomach, then hooked over his lower guard. I connected with the side of his face. He sat down hard on the floor.
Don't get up, Dennis. Stay there. He'll hurt you.
You're right, kid. You're an amateur. I do this kind of thing for a living.
What's going on? You want the cops in here? You want to fight? Go outside.
No more trouble. I'm a movie stuntman. I was just showing my friend how to slip a punch.
And I'm Wonder Woman, and if you do it again, I'm calling the police.
I'm sorry, Mr. Spencer. He isn't really like this.
What's he really like?
I'm like I am. And I don't like to see Terry sitting around boozing with some nosy goddamn gumshoe. What are you doing here anyway?
I'm looking for a stolen rare book. The
Godwolf manuscript. You ever hear of it?
No. If I had, I wouldn't tell you.
Here's a $5 to cover the lunch. Enjoy it. Terry, here's my number in case you want to call.
Swallow up some TV dough. Sweet mama. Come on.
When I got to my car, I had a ticket. I parked on a hydrant. Eternal vigilance, I thought, is the price of liberty. I tore it up. I wiped the snow off the windshield and drove home. I made myself hash and eggs for supper and read the New York Times. The news was all bad. I got out my carving. For 6 months, I'd been trying to carve a piece of wood into the shape of an Indian on horseback. Rodin had nothing to worry about. This sculpture was never going to see an exhibition, but it helped me think. What did Terry say? SCACE stood for the redistribution of wealth. She said it like a slogan she'd learned. Maybe Powell taught her. Maybe he stole the manuscript. It would fit. The ransom was $100,000 to be given to a free school run off campus. That was redistribution of wealth. I turned on the television. The news was still bad. I went to bed. It was much later. It was dark. I could hear something. But I just wanted to stay like I was. I didn't want to take it in. But it was there, persistent. Like a baby crying for attention. I spiraled slowly upwards from sleep. The phone seemed to have been going an awful long time. I picked it up. There was no one there. I waited. Then a voice at the other end, thick, very slow, like a 45 record played at 33.
Spencer.
Yeah?
Help me.
Where are you?
A.B. Hemingway Street, apartment 3.
10 minutes. It was 3:05 in the morning when I got into my car and headed for Hemingway Street. It wasn't 3:15 when I got there. 3 a.m. traffic is rarely a serious problem. Apartment 3 was down a narrow corridor. The door was locked. I knocked. I heard something faint like the noise of a kitten. I braced my back against a wall opposite and drove my heel with 195 pounds behind it against the door. The lock splintered. Inside, all the lights were on. First thing I saw was Dennis Goldilocks lying on his back with his mouth open, his arms outspread. There was a thick patch of blood on his chest. Terry Orchard was on her hands and knees. Her hair hung loose like she was trying to dry it in the sun. But it wasn't sunny in there. She was swaying and mewing. By her side was a small white-handled gun. I knelt beside the boy and felt for the pulse in his neck. He was cool already and getting colder. I turned to Terry. There was a vaguely medicinal smell on her breath. I pulled her up. Her eyes were slits. She wasn't with me. She wasn't with anybody. She was almost all the way under. Couldn't tell from what, but whatever it was an OD. I put her under the shower, made coffee, and walked her around and around till I was exhausted and she was awake.
Son of a bitch.
When you can talk to me, talk to me. Till then, keep walking.
Well, I want to get out of here, okay? I want to run.
You're in very big trouble, and I have to know how big.
Trouble? Jesus! You think I shot him, don't you?
The thought did occur to me.
Look, I didn't shoot him. They shot him. The ones that made me take the dough, right? The ones that made me shoot the gun.
Okay. When did the people come who did this?
I don't know. It was late, maybe 2:30.
Who were they?
I don't know. It was two men, okay? Dennis seemed to know them.
What'd they do?
They knocked on the door. Dennis got up. See, we weren't asleep, right? Because we never sleep till very late. Dennis asked who it was. I couldn't hear, you know, but he let him in. Hey, that's why I think he must have known him. When they opened the door, they came in, you know, real fast, like one of them dragged me out of bed. One holding Dennis reached into his pocket and he pulled out my gun.
Is that your gun on the floor?
Yeah.
How'd he get your gun?
Oh, I really don't know, okay? I lost it a while back.
Okay. Then what?
The other one, he grabbed me and he put his hand on my mouth. One with the gun shot Dennis twice.
With your gun?
Yeah.
Then what?
Well, then the man that shot Dennis, right? He made me hold the gun in my hand and shoot it into Dennis. He held my wrist and he squeezed my finger on the trigger.
Then what? Then what?
I forced him to open my mouth and held me a while. I swallowed it. And they left. Why did they make me shoot him after he was dead?
To hook you on a cordite test. When you fire a handgun, cordite particles impregnate your skin. The lab man puts paraffin over it.
Lab man? You mean the police?
Yeah, Terry. The police.
No. Can we get out of here? I'll go home. You won't say anything, okay? Remember, my father will pay you. You know, he has money. I know he can give you some.
Your boyfriend dead in your apartment, killed with your gun and you gone? They come and get you and bring you back. You know a lawyer?
I don't need a lawyer.
Listen, you're in trouble enough to pull over your head and tie a knot in. But I'll help you. But you do what I tell you. I'm going to call the cops and I'm going to call a lawyer. Right?
We don't have much choice.
First, do you have any idea why those guys did this?
No.
Okay. Get dressed. They won't take long. They came as they always do, in large numbers. Technicians, photographers, someone from the medical examiners, two guys in white coats to carry out the corpse, and some dicks to investigate the crime. This time it was Chief of Homicide, Lieutenant Quirk. It was 4 a.m. and his boots gleamed with dark polish.
Well, that sure is a lucky break for us, Spencer, having you in on this to help us out. Yeah. We need slick professionals like yourself to straighten us out now. It keeps us from forgetting to look for fingerprints, missing clues and stuff.
I didn't plan to get into this, Quirk. The kid called me for help. I came over and found her. And him.
Uh-huh.
She was badly drugged. I got her sobered up and called you.
For God's sake, keep reporters outside.
How did she know you?
I'm on a case she's involved in.
What case?
Looking for a rare manuscript stolen from a university.
Which university?
If it seems apt, I'll tell you.
And if I want to know, you'll tell me.
I'll tell you if you need to know it.
So what do I do? I told you, keep them out.
I don't make a living telling cops everything they want to know about clients.
And I don't make a living taking crap from hole-in-the-wall shysters like you, Spencer.
Ah, Lieutenant.
What's that, Bolson?
This don't get as far. Both the girl and the victim are university students. There's a fair bet it's the same university that hired Spencer.
Do you know this guy, Bolson?
Spencer? Yeah, he used to work out of the Suffolk County DA's office about 5 years ago. I heard he got canned.
Okay, get a story, I'll get the girls. Listen, Spencer, you're not working for the DA now, boy. You're working my side of the street. And if you get in my way, I'll kick your ass right in the gutter. You got that?
Can I feel your muscle? Quirk looked at me without saying anything. Then he turned and went into the kitchen to question the girl.
Start up with the lieutenant, Spencer, and you'll end up looking like a pepper mill.
I won't be able to sleep nights without a light.
Okay, give me your story.
Where should I start?
You can tell me how you were hustling this chick and the guy came home and caught you. And an argument developed.
Yeah, and I pulled out my $14 Saturday night special and let fly. Come on.
Spencer, the girl says she won't say anything unless you say it's all right. She says you told her not to talk to us without a lawyer.
Well enough, Lieutenant. I knew you wouldn't want to take advantage of her when she was confused or maybe in a state of shock.
We're going to take her in.
Thought you might. Would you like me to come along, too?
Oh, that would be nice.
I wouldn't miss it.
Okay, Miss Urchin. Your story and Spencer's match. But that proves nothing. You had plenty of time to arrange it before we were caught. Now, can you think of any reason why two men would want to come and kill Dennis Powell?
No. I don't know. Maybe.
Which one is it, Miss Orchard?
Well, I think he was involved with the manuscript.
Which manuscript?
The one that Mr. Spencer is looking for. The... what's him calling manuscript?
Godwolf.
Is it the Godwolf manuscript, Miss Orchard?
Yes.
How was he involved?
I don't know. Just that he was and that some faculty member was. I heard him on the phone one day.
What did they say?
I can't remember.
Then why do you think it involved the theft of the manuscript?
I just know.
Thank you.
You know how you remember having an idea from a conversation, but you just don't remember the conversation itself. You know what it's like.
Why do you think a faculty member is involved?
The same reason.
Do you think one of the men who you say killed Powell was a professor?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. They didn't look like professors.
Got the gate on the right.
Not now! What did they look like?
It's hard to remember. It was so fast.
So fast, so fast.
They were both big, okay? And they had on dark top coats and hats. And the one that shot Dennis had big sideburns, like Prince Albert, you know, along his jaw. He was sort of fat.
Black or white?
White.
Okay. Why would the theft of a manuscript cause two big white men in hats and top coats to come to your apartment at 2:30 a.m. and kill Powell and frame you?
I don't know.
Come on, why don't you give us the real story?
That's enough, Clark.
Spencer, you remember that. Frank!
Yeah.
Get a matron of book.
All right, Lieutenant.
Okay. So far, you're out of it, Spencer. I got nothing to hold you for. But if something does come up, I want you to be where I don't have to look for you. You understand that? Beat it.
He took my gun out of his desk and pushed it across. Terry was taken out with a lawyer. There was no more I could do. I put the gun away, went down the stairs. Three flights. There were no cameramen, no TV trucks. It was cold, and the wet snow rain had frozen into gray, lumpy ice. I went around the corner, got in my car, drove home, drank two glasses of milk, and went to bed. Who is it?
Spencer?
Yeah?
Spencer, this is Roland Orchard.
How nice for you.
What?
What time is it? What do you want, Mr. Orchard?
It's a little afternoon. I want to see you. How soon can you get here?
As soon as I feel like it, which may be a while.
Spencer, do you know who I am?
I guess you're Terry Orchard's father.
Yes, I am. I'm also senior partner of Orchard, Bonner, and Blanche.
Swell. I buy all your records.
Is this your usual manner, Mr. Spencer?
It's my special being up all night looking into a murder manner. I didn't call you. If you want to tell me what you want without showing me your scrapbook, I'll listen. Otherwise, write me a letter.
Do you have my address, Mr. Spencer?
Yeah.
My daughter is home, and we would very much like you to come to the house. It's on West Newton Hill. Do you know where that is?
Yeah. $100,000 away. I'll be there in about an hour. I got up and stood a long time under the shower. I'd had 4.5 hours sleep. I needed more. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have. I put on my suit. I wasn't sure you could get into West Newton without one. I didn't have a lot of trouble finding Roland Orchard's home. It was big. The maid took me on a long walk down the hall. She opened the door. I went in. A fireplace covered one wall, and the room smelled of wood smoke. Mrs. Orchard was draped over a couch. She was dressed in white to show off her tan and her Mexican jewelry. She extended a limp wrist towards me. Felt as though I was walking into a window display.
Mr. Spencer, it's very nice of you to come.
That's okay.
My husband had to go in the office for a while. He should be back soon.
Uh-huh.
He might have stopped off at the club for handball and the rub down. Raleigh works very hard to stay in shape.
Uh-huh.
What do, Mr. Spencer? You look to be in excellent condition. You work out?
Not at the club.
No, of course not.
May I sit down?
Oh, I am sorry. Of course, sit down. Will you have some coffee, tea? I had some sandwiches made up. Would you like one?
No, thank you. I ate before I came. I'll take coffee, though, black.
You must pardon me, Mr. Spencer. My manners are really much better. It's just that I've never been involved with policemen at all.
Thank you.
And I've never spoken to a private detective before. Are you carrying a gun?
I thought I'd risk Wes Newton without one.
Yes, of course. You're sure you won't have a sandwich?
Look, Mrs. Orchard, I spent most of last night with your daughter and a corpse. I spent the rest of last night with your daughter and the cops. The last I knew, she was in jail for murder. Your husband says she's home. Now, you didn't get me out here to make sure I was eating properly. What do you want?
My husband will be along soon, Mr. Spencer. He'll explain. Raleigh handles these things. I do not.
Where's Terry?
In her room. Her father's asked that she talk with no one except in his presence.
How's she feel about that?
After what she's gotten herself into and what she's putting us through, she's learning to do what she's told. Would you put another log on the fire, Mr. Spencer? It seems to be getting low. And Raleigh likes a blazing fire.
It was a way of establishing relationships, I thought, as I got a log from the basket and set it on top of the fire. Get me to do her bidding. I'd known other women like that. If they couldn't get you to do them little services, they fell insecure. Or maybe she just wanted another log on the fire. The door opened and Mr. Orchard came in. All blue blazer and tan and reddish flush, which was down to good health. Or booze.
Spencer, nice you to come. I'll get coffee, Marion. Sorry you kept you waiting, Spencer, but I don't like to stay out of work if I can help it. Right to the job, I guess. Thank you, my dear. I wish to hire you, Mr. Spencer, to see that my daughter is exonerated of the charges leveled against her. I was able to have her released on bail in my custody, but it took a good deal of doing, and I had to collect a number of favors to do it. Now, I want this mess cleared up and the suspicion lifted from my name and my home. Police are working to convict. I want someone working to acquit.
Why not have Terry join us?
Perhaps later. But first, I want to speak with you for a time. I would like you to give me a complete rundown of the circumstances by which you became involved with Terry up to and including last night.
Hasn't Terry told you?
I want your version.
Nope.
Mr. Spencer, I am imploring you to investigate a murder. I want a report of what you discovered so far.
First, you may or may not be hiring me. You've offered. I haven't accepted, so at the moment I owe you nothing. That includes how I met your daughter and what we did.
God damn it, Spencer, I don't have to take that kind of insolence from you.
Right. You can hire another Hawkshaw. The ones with phones are in the yellow pages under sleuth.
Hang in there. I'll have some brandy. You join me, Mr. Spencer?
Yeah, I'll have some. Thank you.
Now, look, Spencer, Terry is our only child. We've lavished every affection and concern on her. We brought her up in wealth and comfort, clothes, the best schooling, Europe. She had her own horse and rode beautifully. She made us proud. She was an achiever. That's important. We do things in our family. Marion rides and hunts as well as any man.
Hi-ho, silver.
Then, when it came time for college, she insisted on going to that factory. And, against my better judgment, I permitted her to go. I should have known better. She got in with the worst element in a bad school. And now she's gotten herself involved in the murder. I've got a right to know about her. I've got a right to know what she'll do to us next.
I don't do family counseling, Mr. Orchard. There are people who do. Maybe you ought to look up one of them. If you'll get Terry down here, we'll talk. All of us. See if we can arrange to live in peace while I look into the murder.
I'll call her.
Will you have another brandy, Mr. Spencer?
No, thank you.
Orchard took another belt of brandy. He wasn't bothering to savor the bouquet. The flush, was booze. I nibbled at the edge of mine. Terry came in looking like a cheerleader who's lost a baton.
Hi.
Terry, I'm employing Mr. Spencer to clear you of the murder charge.
Okay.
I hope you'll cooperate in every way.
Okay.
And Terry, if Mr. Spencer succeeds in getting you out of this mess, if he does, perhaps you'll begin to rethink your whole approach to life.
Why don't you get laid?
Terry.
Now, you listen to me, young lady. I've put up with your nonsense for as long as I'm going to. If you think I'm
going to... this kind of stuff. I go home and watch daytime television. I want to talk with Terry. Maybe later I want to talk with each of you separately. Obviously, I was wrong. We can't do it in a group.
My God, Spencer.
I want to talk with Terry. Do I or don't I?
Very well.
What now?
If I told my father to get laid, he would have knocked out six of my teeth.
Mine won't. He'll drink some brandy, and tomorrow he'll stay late at the office.
You don't like him much.
He's a jerk.
From his point of view, you're no prize package.
I know.
Tell me more about the manuscript.
I told the police everything I know.
You talked with Quirk again since last night?
Yeah, I saw him this morning before Daddy's people got me out.
Okay. Tell me what he asked you and what you said.
He asked me all over again why those guys would come to our apartment and kill Dennis. I said that the only thing I could think of was the manuscript and that Dennis was involved somehow in the theft.
What made you think he was involved?
It was a phone call he made from the apartment.
What did he say?
He talked low. And I knew he didn't want me to hear, you know, cupping his hand and everything. So I tried not to hear. But he did say something about hiding it. Like, don't worry, no one will find it. I was careful.
When was this?
About a week ago. Let me see. I was up early for my Chaucer class, so it must have been a Monday. That's 5 days ago, last Monday.
And the manuscript was stolen Sunday night.
At one point, I think he threatened someone.
What did he say?
He said, if you don't... No. No, he said, I will. I really will. Yeah, that was it. I really will. But it was very threatening, you know?
Good. Now, why do you think it was a professor?
Well, I don't know. It was just a sort of feeling. I wasn't all that interested. I was wanting the water for a bath, anyway.
No, Terry. I want to know the words. What were his words?
Dennis said, I don't care. I don't care if you do. He said, I don't care if you do. Cut the goddamn thing.
Now, you know, he wasn't talking about cutting a piece of rope or a salami.
What could they be talking about angrily that had to do with salami? Anyway, he mentioned a class or school a little before, and that's why I figured it had to be a professor.
Good. What else?
Nothing. That's it.
If you do think of anything else at all, you call me.
My father will pay you for what you did last night.
No, he won't. He'll pay me for what I made, though, but last night was a free introductory offer.
Yeah, well, it was a really nice thing to do.
Oh, hell. What you should try and do is this. Keep him starting up with your old man for a while. Try and stay around the house. Go to class if you think you should, but for the moment, let Skate stave off the apocalypse without you. Okay?
Okay. But don't laugh at us. We're perfectly serious, you know, and we're perfectly right.
Yeah. So's everyone I know.
I said goodbye to her parents, took a retainer from Roland Orchard, and drove back. Two retainers in the same week. Maybe I'd buy a yacht. On the other hand, maybe it was better to get the tear in my convertible top fixed. It was a long winter ahead. I wanted information about the university. I thought I'd try the student newspaper. It was located in the basement of the library. There was a door, and some inventive person had printed news in black ink. It was empty except for a black woman sitting at a desk with a plastic plate that said feature editor. I gave her my card.
Hello? What can I do for you?
My name's Spencer. I'm working on a case involving the university, and I'm looking for information. Can I ask you for some?
You surely can.
You know there's a manuscript been stolen?
Yep.
I have reason to believe that a radical student organization, SCACE, is involved in the theft.
Uh-huh.
What I'm looking for are faculty connections with SCACE. What can you tell me?
Why do you want to know?
I've reason to believe that a faculty member is involved in the theft. You know Terry Orchard?
Yep.
And you know she's a SCACE member. You also know she's been arrested for murder.
Yeah.
I think the manuscript theft and the murder are connected. Look, you don't seem too busy right now.
The paper's gone to bed.
Can I offer you a drink?
Is this bribery or seduction?
I don't think Terry Orchard could kill anyone. I think she was set up. You want to help Justice?
I'll get my coat. Cheers.
A couple of freaky kids on a bad trip. One shoots the other, tells some weird story about guys in trench coats. Papers would have them part of an international sex club by the second day's story.
How come you're messing it up then? If it's so good, how come you don't believe it?
I talked to her right after it happened. She's not that good a liar.
Why did her trip? Maybe she really thinks she's telling the truth. You ever been on a trip?
No. You?
Baby, I'm fat, black, widow, pushing 30, and got 2 kids. I don't need no additional problem. But she could think it happened. Got any reason for thinking she's not guilty?
I like her.
All right, that's cool.
So, what do you know?
Not a lot. The kid Powell was a jerk. Sulky, foolish, on an ego trip. Tell me, I don't know. I've been in classes with her. She's bright, but she's screwed up.
How about a professor?
In case, you got me? I do know there's a lot of talk about drug dealing connected with Skase.
For instance?
For instance, that Powell was dealing and had big connections. He could get you smack, anything you wanted, but especially smack. A kid that can get unlimited smack is heavy in some circles.
Mob connections?
I don't know. I don't even know whether he could really get you a big supply of smack. I just tell you what I hear. Kids like to talk big, especially to me because I live in Wilkes-Barre. They figure all those darkies are into drugs and crime. Because we've been oppressed by you hunky slumlords.
I want a professor. A radical. How about an English professor? Wouldn't that be the best bet? It was a medieval manuscript. Wouldn't an English professor be most likely to think of holding it for ransom?
Maybe. There's a lot of radicals in the English department. There's a lot of radicals in most departments if you really want to know. But English...
Okay. Who's a radicalist? Who would you bet on if you had to bet?
Hayden. Noel Hayden. He's one of those little pale guys with long, limp blonde hair that looks like he hasn't started to shave yet. But he's like 39, you know? Taught a freshman English course 2 years ago called The Rhetoric of Revolution. You did? Yeah. That'd be the one. Old Dr. Hayden.
What's he teach besides freshman English?
I don't know for sure. I know he teaches Chaucer, because I took Chaucer with him.
Mrs. Milford, thank you. Here's my card. If you come up with anything else, let me know. I have an answering service. If I'm not there, leave a message.
Okay.
Mr. Tower's office, Campus Security. Who is that, please? Oh, hello, Mrs. Tower. I'm afraid he isn't in right now. He's with Dr. Forbes right at this minute. The moment he gets in, Mrs. Tower.
Excuse me.
Oh.
I brought you a present.
Good morning, Mr. Spencer.
Toy snowman. You being fond of snow.
How do you know?
We met when the snow was falling. You could thank me.
How?
Would involve wrinkling your dress.
I don't understand.
So Mr. Tower isn't in?
Oh, yes. Go right in. It's expecting you.
You're a good liar. I went into Tower's office. He didn't say hello.
What do you got?
Tell me about Lowell Hayden.
Why? Who the hell is employing who here? And I want to know your results, and you start asking me questions about professors.
Whom?
What?
It's whom. Who is employing whom? Or is it? Maybe
it's... Come off it, Spencer. I got things to do.
Me too. One of them is to find out about Lowell Hayden. His name's come up a couple of times. I know Hayden had an early class on the morning that Powell was talking to a professor about cutting his early morning class.
That adds up to zero.
He's all I got for either the murder or the theft. If he's clean, I won't bother him.
You got any idea what happens if it gets out that a private eye and the employee of the university is investigating a member of the faculty? Now, you just keep looking for that manuscript. Stay away from the faculty.
I don't do piecework, Tower. I take hold of one end of the thread, I keep pulling till it's all unraveled. You hired me to find out where the manuscript went. You didn't hire me to run errands. A retainer does not include your telling me how to do my job.
You stay the hell away from Hayden or you'll be off this campus for keeps. I don't want no violation of academic freedom here.
The freedom I'm worried about is not academic. It's 19 and female. You reconsider my numbers on the card.
Spencer, I got you hired for this job, and I can get you fired just as easy.
Do that. I got even. I left without saying goodbye. On the way out, Miss Loring was looking at a toy snowman. She handed me a list of faculty office numbers. She had underlined 405, Lowell Hayden's office. I didn't thank her. She was on her way into her boss. So she was another listener through keyholes. I was glad she was on my side. It was a tiny office. Just room for a desk, chair, file cabinet, bookcase, and teacher. Hayden looked at home in the office. He was small. I gave him my card. No reaction. Told him I was working on a case involving a former student. If he had anything to hide, he wasn't showing it. He looked at my card carefully.
Anyone can have a card printed up. Do you have more positive identification?
Here's my license.
Mm. Who's the student?
Terry Orchard.
I teach a great many students, Mr. Spencer. What class, what year, what semester?
Chaucer, this year, this semester.
Let me see. Yes, I do have a Miss Orchard in my Chaucer class.
Don't you know the names of your students, Dr. Hayden?
This is a very large university, Mr. Spencer.
How's she doing?
Oh, that is a matter concerning Miss Orchard and myself.
Terry Orchard is accused of the murder of her boyfriend, Dennis Powell. I'm working to clear her. Is there anything you could tell me that would help?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't.
Did you know Dennis Powell?
No, I don't think so.
Are you aware that the Godwell manuscript's been stolen?
Yes, I am.
You have any idea what might have happened to it?
Mr. Spencer, this is absurd. I assume your interest relates to the fact that I'm a medievalist. I am not, however, a thief.
Well, thanks anyway.
No, you're welcome. I'm sorry I wasn't more useful.
Oh, Dr. Hayden, one more thing.
Yes?
When I asked you if you knew Terry Orchard, you looked in the grade book, which is just the surnames and initials of the students, and yet after that you referred to her as Miss Orchard. This is a serious matter. Killings involved. Don't play games with me. On the ground floor were two campus cops, and they wanted me out of there. They stood there as I drove off, slapping nightsticks against their legs. It was getting dark, and the commuter traffic was starting to thicken the streets. I drove slowly back to my office, parked my car, and went in. When I unlocked my office door, first thing I noticed was the smell of cigarette smoke. I hadn't smoked in 10 years. Pushed it open hard and went in low with my gun out. There was someone sitting at my desk, and somebody standing against a wall. In the half light, the tip of his cigarette glowed. Neither of them moved. I backed to the wall and felt for the light switch. I found it and the room brightened.
Look at that, Phil. Maybe if we give him money, he'll do that again.
Put that away. If we was going to push you, I wouldn't have let Sonny smoke. A man wants to see you.
What if I don't want to see him?
What if you don't want to see him, Phil?
Let's go.
It had started to snow again, softly, big flakes, and the windshield wipers made the only sound in the car. The ride was short. I followed Phil into the building. We took the self-service elevator to the 11th floor. I found myself knee-deep in a penthouse carpet.
My name is Joe Bros.
I've seen you in the papers. Did you just beat a murder rap?
I have been told you are a wise-ass punk. Apparently my information was correct. So let's get some ground rules. You are here because I sent for you. You will leave when I tell you to. You are of no consequence. You have no class. If you annoy me, I will have someone sprinkle roach powder on you. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I think so, but you better give me a drink. I feel faint.
Sit down. I've got things to say. Phil, make him a drink.
Bourbon. With water. And some bitters.
You're working on a case.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
No.
Spencer, this can be easier, this can be harder. Just as soon it was easy, but the choice is yours.
Look, one reason people employ me is because people want their business private. If I spill what I know every time somebody asks me, I'm not likely to flourish.
Your chances of flourishing are not very big right now, Spencer. I know you are looking for the Good Wolf manuscript. I know you're working for Roland Orchard. What I want to know is what you've got. There's no breach of confidence in that.
Why do you want to know?
Let's say I'm an interested party.
Let's say more than that. Why be one way? You tell me what your interest is, I'll think about telling you what I know.
Spencer, I'm hanging on to my patience, but it's slipping, huh? I don't have to make swaps with you. I get what I ask for. I want you out of this business.
Which business?
The Gold Wolf manuscript. I don't want you muddying up the water.
What's in it for me if I pull out?
Health.
I hired on to find the manuscript.
Maybe the manuscript will turn up.
If it does, I won't have to look for it anymore.
Don't look for it anymore. Stay out of it, or you'll end up looking at the trunk of your car from the inside. You've been warned, huh? Now get the hell out of here.
I took a cab from Braz's office to mine. When I got there, I sat in my chair in the dark and looked out the window. The snow was steady now and starting to screw up the traffic. I pulled a bottle of bourbon out of my desk drawer and drank some. Where was I? Somewhere along the line, I had touched a nerve and somebody had called Braz. I couldn't see him being involved in the Godwelf manuscript. Wasn't worth any money, couldn't be fenced. But he implied he'd put it back. Maybe he knew the strings to pull. He knew a lot of people. Maybe he was involved in Powell's murder. Maybe he didn't want me digging into that. I like that better. Powell was pushing drugs. If that was true, he'd have mob connections, direct or indirect. It looked like a mob killing, well set up to put Terry in the frame. Yeah. Joe Braz wanted me to keep my nose out of his business, and his business was running the city. Or trying to. And most people have a price. The following morning, I was in the same place, drinking much the same drink, when I had a visitor.
What a dump.
Good morning, Lieutenant. No need to knock. My door's always open to a public servant. You've come, no doubt, to ask my assistance in solving a particularly knotty puzzle.
Knock it out, Spencer. If I want to listen to bullshit, I'll go over to a city council meeting.
Okay. Have a seat. You want a drink?
Yeah. I'll have a drink. Thank you. Spencer? Terry Orchard is it.
The hell she is.
She's it. Captain Yates is taking personal charge of the case, and she's the one.
Yates? That means you're off it?
That's right.
What else does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything else.
Like hell it doesn't mean anything else, Quirk. You didn't make a special trip down here to inform me of personnel shifts in the BPD.
Okay. I don't like the kid for the murder.
Me neither.
You went to see Joe Braz yesterday.
Yeah?
Why?
So he could tell me to butt out of the Godwelf manuscript Terry Orchard affair.
What did you say?
I said, we'll see.
Did you know the manuscript was back?
Braz suggested that was possible.
Any idea why Braz wanted you to butt out?
No. Any idea why Yates wanted you to butt out?
No. But there's a lot of pressure from somewhere up the line.
And Yates is responding.
I don't know about what Yates is doing. I know he's in charge of the case and I'm not.
Great. So some goddamn teenage kid gets fed to the fishes for something she didn't do. So you know she didn't do it. Joe Braz puts a squeeze on some politician who puts a squeeze on Captain Yates who takes you off the case. But you don't cry. It's good for society. Bulls. Why don't you take what you got to the States?
Because I haven't got enough. The state cops would laugh and giggle if I came up with what I got. And because... God damn it, Spencer, because I can't. I'm a cop. That's what I do. I can't.
But I can. I'm going to have Braz and Yates, and you too if I have to, and whoever else has got his thumb in whatever goddamn pie this is.
Maybe you will. I hear you were a pretty good cop before you got fired. What'd you get fired for?
Insubordination. It's one of my best things.
And maybe Braz will have you shot in the back of the head.
How much I have to get for you?
I'm not asking you to get a damn thing for me.
Yeah, I know. But I got you proof. Not suspicion. proof. Then what happens?
Then the pressure will go away. Yates is impressed with proof.
I'll bet. What do you know about Kathy Connolly, Lieutenant?
We checked her out routinely. No record, no evidence of drugs. Roomed with Orchard before Powell moved in. Now lives somewhere up the Fenway. 96 Cobden Avenue.
Anybody interview her?
A couple of precinct boys in a radio car stopped by. She wasn't home. We saw no reason to press it, do you?
Those two hoods had Terry Orchard's gun with them when they came to the apartment. How'd they get it?
If it's true.
Of course if it's true. I think it's true. Kathy Connolly seems like the best person to ask about how they got the gun. Terry doesn't know. Powell is dead. Who's left?
Why don't you ask her then?
I will. I think I'll go see Tower. Campus security on my way. See who sent the manuscript back. He's got a secretary. She's crazy about me.
Not you again.
Don't pull that sweet talk on me.
I beg your pardon?
I know what you're thinking. I'm sorry. I'm on duty.
Of all the outer offices in all the towns in all the world, you had to walk into mine.
That sounds familiar.
Spencer! Get the hell into my office!
I don't come out alive. Here's my wristwatch. I want you to have it. It'll remind you of me.
I have here, Spencer, a copy of the university newspaper. Would you care to read the front page?
Administration agent spies on students. Private eye hired by Forbes questions English professor. You spelled my name wrong. It's with an S, not a C, like the English poet. S-P-E-N-S-E-R.
We won't ask for a return of the retainer, Spencer. But if you are found on this campus again, ever, we'll arrest you for trespassing and use every influence we got to get your license revoked.
I hear you got the manuscript back.
That's right. No thanks to you. Now, beat it.
Who returned it?
It just showed up yesterday in a cardboard box on the library steps.
You ever wonder why I came back?
Now, either you leave or I call my people to get you out of here.
I'm going. I whipped your entire force. It would embarrass both of us.
I'm glad you made it.
So am I.
I gather you're not flavor of the month.
I get that impression, too.
Don't forget your watch.
I'll keep it close to my pulse beat always.
I'm glad to know that.
I won't see you again.
Is that a promise?
I've just been fired. Tao was standing in his doorway. Brenda Loring went back to her typing, and I went back to leaving. On my way down, I noticed on the inside of the watch strap in red ink she'd written Brenda Loring, 437-3676. I took the highway, and 15 minutes later, I was outside Kathy Connolly's apartment. I knocked, but there was no answer. TV was on, but maybe she left it that way to discourage burglars. I had a funny feeling something was wrong.
Miss Connolly!
I stepped in and felt muscles begin to tighten behind my shoulders. The apartment was hot and stuffy, and there was a smell I'd smelled before. I went towards the bathroom. The smell was stronger from there. She was in the tub, face down, her head underwater, her body beginning to bloat. I looked at her for 2, maybe 3 minutes, feeling the nausea bubble inside me. Then I went back into the living room. There were no telltale cigar butts, no torn hairs of claim checks, no traces of lint from an imported cashmere cloth sold only by J. Press, no footprints, no thumbprints, no clues. Just a drowned kid welling with death in a shabby bathroom in a crummy apartment in a lousy building. And me. I called the cops. Captain Yates was along with them.
Point to that fact. There's no question.
Look at the position of the bodies.
I can see the position of the
car. What does this man say about the kid?
Huh? Accidental death, Spencer. She slipped getting into the tub, hit her head, and drowned. You got something to say, Lieutenant
Clark? Oh, not me, Captain. No, sir. I just inhaled some smoke around. Fell right in her head. All right? Yes, sir.
Captain, does it bother you that her bed is turned back? The clothes are on a chair and her pajamas are on a bathroom floor? Seem funny to you that someone would take off her clothes, put on her pajamas, walk across the room, take off her pajamas, and get in the bathtub?
She brought them in to put them on when she got through.
And dropped them carefully in a pile on the floor where the tub would splash them and she'd drip on them when she got out because she loved putting on wet pajamas.
Accidental death by drowning, open and shut. Let's go, Quirk.
Okay.
Doc?
You?
Belson?
Yeah.
Get this guy's statement. And you, Jack, be where I can reach you. And when I call, you better come running.
Police and lab boys left about 9:30. I broke the police padlock off the door at midnight. I found what I was looking for just before 3. It was written on the paper of a Peabody motel. Darling, you are beautiful when you're asleep. As I write this, I'm looking at you, and the covers are half off you so I can see your breasts. They're beautiful. I want to climb back into bed with you, but I must leave. You can cut my 8 o'clock class, but I can't. I won't mark you absent, though, and I'll be thinking about last night all the time. The room is paid for, and you have to leave by noon, they said. I love you. There was no date, no signature, but it was written in a distinctive cursive script. So far, I was guilty of breaking and entering, possession of burglar's tools, and destruction of property. I figured tampering with evidence would round things out nicely. Now that I had a clue, I needed some help. I gave the student newspaper a ring. Spoke to Iris Milford. She wanted to meet in a joint at the wrong end of town.
That my dreams, they never haunted you. My heart's been telling you how much I wanted you.
Moonlighting?
Yeah, for peanuts. What's the big investigation going?
So. I've been looking for Terry's ex-roommate, Kathy Connolly.
Did you find her?
Yeah, but she was dead.
Hell.
She'd been drowned in a bathtub by someone who tried to make it look accidental. Found this in her room.
Well, she didn't die a virgin.
There is that.
She was sleeping with some professor.
Yeah?
If you can find out what 8 o'clock classes she took, you'll know who.
Yep.
But you can't get that information, because you've been banished from the campus.
Yep.
Which leaves little old Iris, right?
Right.
I'll call you when I know.
Spencer.
Kathy Connolly took Chaucer this year with Lowell Hayton at 8 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. The only other 8 o'clock class she had since she started here has been Western Civilization, taught by Dr. Alice Murdoch.
Uh-huh.
Unless she was gay, it looks like Hayden.
I think I'll come over and have a word with Dr. Hayden.
Uh-uh. He hasn't got any classes today. He'll probably be at his home out in Marblehead.
What's the address?
Marblehead. An ocean town. Yachting center, summer home, an old downtown district that reeked of tar and salt and quaint. Hayden had an apartment in a converted warehouse that fronted on the harbor. A big, hatchet-faced woman in her mid-30s answered my ring. She was lean and hard as a canoe paddle, and nearly as sexy.
Mrs. Hayden?
Yes?
Dr. Hayden in?
He's in his study. What do you want?
I'd like to speak with him, please.
He always spends 2 hours a day in his study. I don't permit him to be bothered in that time. Tell me what you want.
Look, here's my card. If you'll give it to Dr. Hayden, perhaps he'll just break his rules just once. I'll be waiting out of my car looking at the ocean, thinking long thoughts. Oh, yeah. Tell him it's to do with Kathy Connolly. I went back to my car and watched the sun glint on the water. Behind me, the seafood restaurant on the wharf was filling with lunchtime customers, and ahead of me, 2 tourists were taking pictures of the wharf building. Hayden came out of his apartment. He walked towards my car and got in. He looked tired.
Spencer, you better leave me alone.
Why is that?
Because you'll get hurt.
No, you're not saying it right. Keep your lips motionless and squint your eyes up.
I'm warning you now, Spencer. You stay away from me. I have friends who know how to deal with you.
You're going to call in some hard cases from the Modern Language Association?
I mean people who will kill you if I say so.
Oh, Mrs. Hayden, you mean?
Look, I don't know anything about Kathy Connolly.
Yeah, you do. You know about spending the night with her in a motel in a romantic Peabody. You know that she's dead and you know how she died.
I do not. I'll have you killed, you bastard. I don't know anything about this. Now you leave me alone or you'll be sorry. You'll be so sorry you can't imagine.
You don't really think Joe Braz will kill me on your say-so, do you?
You'll see. You bastard. You'll see.
The next morning, I went over to the university and started tailing Hayden. At 5 in the afternoon, Hayden came out to his car. Two guys got in with him, one in front, one in back. The car pulled away. I stayed close behind him. Too close, really, but it was dark and wet, and I was worried. The two guys that got in the car didn't look like poets to me, and I didn't want to lose him. He was all I had. If something happened to him, Terry Orchard would stay in a mess. After a while, we came to Jamaica Pond, a hollow around it, wooded and grassy. Hayden's car pulled off the road and parked on a shoulder. I drove on by, turned into a side street, and parked. I stopped still in the dark. In front of me were three indistinct figures. Hayden was the one making the mournful noise. One of the guys placed a pistol with a silencer against the back of Hayden's head.
Come on, Hayden, get down on your knees.
Move, Daddy.
Freeze! Hayden! Hayden, you dumb son of a bitch! It's Spencer! You're all right. They're dead. Come on out. Hayden!
They were gonna kill me. They were gonna kill me. They had no right.
I've been shot.
They were supposed to kill you!
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Give me a hand.
They were supposed to kill you!
Hayden! Hayden!
I wondered if I'd die here. Face down under a spruce tree in the mud after keeping a double murderer from getting shot by two hired thugs. It felt like I wanted to throw up. I wasn't going to be able to walk up the hill, so I crawled. It was getting harder as dizziness and nausea came on. The rain was drumming on the back of my head, cold. The pain drummed even harder in my side. The road seemed a million miles away. I was floating. Floating further and further away from the road. Now you see me, now you don't. I was crawling over red-hot coals, and they burned like hell. And I could feel the warmth and smell the blood. And I was resting on the curb with my cheek in the gutter, and there was a cop standing over me, and I was saying, I'm not drunk.
I can see you soaked in blood.
I'm not drunk. I said it again. It seemed important to keep saying it. Then there was a big, bright light and tubes and apparatus and a woman in a white coat. Been shot.
That was my diagnosis, too. Bullet went right through, banged over rib, probably cracked it. We'll find out soon. You've already been x-rayed. There are two policemen waiting for you on the ward. I hope they don't send you away for too long.
Thanks. I'm supposed to be the good guy.
Two of them. In the dark, not bad shooting.
Thank you, Sergeant Belson. Except I forgot to duck.
Okay, let me have it.
I'm fine, thanks, Lieutenant. Just a little old bullet wound.
Yeah, good. Let's hear, though. There's two carcasses downstairs right now that the MDC people brought in from Jamaica Pond.
One of them's a gopher for Joe Braz.
Let's hear, though.
You working on this, Quirk, or is Yates still pulling the strings?
I told you. If you got proof, not suspicion, proof, then the pressure would go away.
I don't think your boss is going to be pleased with us.
You got proof?
I'm afraid that's it for now, Lieutenant.
This is important. He's got to tell us all that he knows.
He's lost a lot of blood. In the morning, Lieutenant.
I was halfway under again and barely felt the needle. I woke up in bright daylight.
There was something I had to do. Find Hayden before any more of Brazzi's hired guns did. My legs were shaky. I started down the length of the ward, and halfway down I didn't have to hang on. I was feeling balanced when the floor nurse came in.
We're not supposed to be strolling around. Come on.
We are doing more than strolling around. We are getting the hell out of here.
Nonsense. I want you to hop right back into bed this minute.
Don't do that. I may faint. You'll have to give me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Mr. Spencer, must I call the residents?
Relax, nurse. You've done what you could, but I got stuff I have to do and promises to keep. And for a guy with virility, what's a bullet wound?
Mr. Spencer, look, you're in no condition to walk out like this.
You're probably right, but I'm leaving anyway. We both know you can't stop it. What you can do is lend me a cab there home.
I suppose you deserve something for sheer nerve. Here's five.
Thanks. I'll return it as soon as I can.
Come on, Mrs. Hayden.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I got shot last night because of him.
Just go away and leave us
that
alone.
That is finished.
Why
it
can't
is the
you
cops.
Just leave us alone?
It's Brock.
Please.
They are
please.
All in.
Mrs. Hayden, your husband is involved in one larceny and two murders. There's obviously a contract out on him. If I don't find him before the contractors do, he's going to have all his problems solved for him with a neat lead injection.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I bet you do.
What happens to him after you find out whatever you think the truth is?
He'll live. I can't promise much else, but it's better than what he'll get if Braz gets there first. The Supreme Court has outlawed the death penalty. Braz hasn't. I know, Mrs. Hayden, all sorts of things come to mind. Loyalty, trust, love. You know about Kathy Connolly?
Yes.
I don't mean your husband sleeping with her. How he killed her. You do know, don't you?
He's hiding in the caretaker's room at the swimming pool on the campus. Mr. Spencer.
Why don't you leave me alone?
You owe me.
They were supposed to kill you.
They're not going to kill me, Hayden. They're going to kill you. They want this case closed and forgotten, but I've nosed you up into the light.
They were supposed to kill you.
I figure that you and Powell were involved in pushing dope at the university. Maybe for money, maybe because you wanted to turn on the sons of the middle classes, maybe because you're a screwball. Braz supplied you. For him, the university was a nice new market for some goods he had on hand, and as long as you could deliver the market, he could use you. But you and Powell had to get fancy. You stole a manuscript and held it for ransom. That was dumb, because you got the university police and me involved. But what was dumber was that you and Powell had a falling out. About what, I don't know. You can tell me that. But it was you he was arguing with on the phone. It was you who set him up for the mob hit. It had to be you, because he's the only one around who could have supplied Terry Orchard's gun. You got it through Kathy Connolly.
How do you know?
I'm a sleuth, remember? It's my job. Connolly had been Terry's roommate, and she knew about the gun. She was also your girlfriend, and it had to be her who told you about it. So it was done, and you were clean, and all was well. Then I showed up, and I talked to you about it, and you panicked. You must have called Braz the minute I left your office that day, because he sent his people out to see me right after that. And the manuscript was returned the next day. But I kept on, and you panicked worse. Kathy Connolly could tie you to the murder. So you went and killed her. That was maybe the dumbest thing of all. It's not your line of work, and you did a terrible job. Braz must have had enough. He thought he'd kill you. And he will. You got one chance. Tell the cops. Maybe we can get Braz. Maybe we can keep him from getting you.
You don't understand. Any of you. Dennis Powell was a fool. I told him the money was for Skase, not for us. The movement was everything. With money and the backing of organized crime, why we can move against the bondage of American hypocrisy. But no. He wanted a bigger cut of everything. The drugs, the Godwolf manuscript, the movement meant nothing to him. He threatened to go to the police. He betrayed the movement. He had to be executed. Yes, Miss Connolly was my mistress. She suggested the gun. She went and visited Terry and stole the gun. Joseph Braz took care of the rest.
You're a screwball.
Aye.
And the movement.
And Kathy Connolly.
I took care of her.
And you're going to tell the police?
No.
You listen to me, Hayden. I've killed two people and been shot in the chest to save your miserable goddamn ass. I don't enjoy killing people. Even Hoods. I don't enjoy being shot. I'm going to call Lieutenant Quirk in a minute. He's going to come and arrest you. You'll tell him everything you know, everything I want you to tell him, and everything that he asks you. If you don't, I'm going to get Quirk to put us alone together in a cell in the basement, and I'm going to beat you to death. Let's go.
Don't move, Mr. Spencer.
Tell me. You've got a gun. Yeah, I should have frisked you.
You didn't really think I'd let you take me just like that. Oh, no, I've gone too far, Spencer. One more killing makes no difference.
I underestimated the situation.
You've spoken your piece. Now, shut up. It's my turn.
What are you going to do, bore me to death?
Wisecracking to the end. Is that what you'd like put on your tomb?
I don't much mind. It's all the same when you're dead.
That's a very philosophical outlook.
I can be a very deep person. Tell me about your revolution.
You really want to hear?
No, I just want to live a little longer.
I am the movement.
He was listening to a different drummer, all right. Playing God Save the King. Then the door behind him swung open. Phil stepped through it. In his hand was a gun with a silencer pointed at us. We've got visitors.
Time's up. Drop it, Hayden. In the pool.
You had Mrs. Hayden staked out.
Clever guy.
Not so clever. I didn't spot you.
We used five people. We're going to take a walk.
You're not going to hurt me. Joseph Bras, he'll be very angry with you. And you know how angry Joseph Bras can get.
You know, you are dumb. Really dumb. Who do you think sent me?
Don't kill me. Please don't kill me. You can't kill me.
Crouching low at the door, the cavalry arrived. Lieutenant Quirk, gun in hand. Cops behind him with more guns. It was getting like the big shootout at the OK Corral. This must be a popular night, Phil. We got more visitors.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Phil swung round and swiveled back, his gun pointing straight at Hayden. I felt my stitches rip as I hit the deck. We drove in convoy back to the station. Hayden sat there looking into the distance like he had some kind of vision. Maybe he had. There ain't no Disneyland out there. I don't think his version would have been much fun. Quirk was as immaculate as ever. Not a speck on those shoes. He opened a filing cabinet and expected a shoeshine boy to pop out. Pulled out some papers, took down Hayden's statement. Then the press arrived and took Hayden's picture. He looked triumphant. He was getting battier by the minute. And the cops took him down. How about the kid, Lieutenant?
Archer? They're processing her out now. She'll be on the street by the time we get through here.
Yates?
Captain Yates is at this moment telling the people in the press room about another triumph for truth, justice, and the American way.
Got all the moves, hasn't he? How about Braz?
We got a pickup order out of him. How long we can keep him when we get him? You can guess as well as I can. In the last 15 years, we've arrested him 8 times and made 1 charge stick. Loitering. It'll help if Hayden sticks to a story.
He'll stick. Your only problem is getting him to stop.
Quirk. Yeah? Okay. Orchard's parents can't be located, Spencer. She says, can you come and pick her up? How's your side?
Only hurts when I laugh.
Okay, beat it. We'll be in touch about the coroner's inquiry. And watch out for Braz's people. You won't be very popular with them.
Oh, Lieutenant. Never know you cared.
Just make sure that if they hit you, it's outside my pickup area.
Hi.
Hi. I went round, opened the car door. Terry got in. She looked a little frayed, but she was young. She was going to pull through.
Do you have any cigarettes?
I haven't smoked in ages. We can stop, pick some up.
I'd like some makeup.
You don't need makeup.
Is that a pass?
It's a fact.
Why don't you get your top fixed?
Cold?
Are you supposed to be up?
Why not?
Haven't you just been shot?
There was no peace in hospital. A lot of old guys snoring.
How are you feeling?
Police doctor told me to get a fresh set of stitches this afternoon. How do you feel about ice cream?
Ice cream?
You want one?
I don't know.
Everyone knows whether they feel like an ice cream. What sort you want?
What sort have they got?
They got everything.
Oh, yeah, look.
I'm going to be boring.
Hey,
I'm going to go for vanilla straight. Some of these I've always wanted to try, but I always go back
now, which one
to
my
vanilla.
I'm going to have butter pecan.
What's that?
Butter pecan.
Is that good?
You never tried it. You should try it.
Can we have two scoops of butter pecan?
Each. Two scoops each. Spencer.
Yeah?
What can I say? Thank you seems pretty silly.
Don't say anything. You know and I know. Just let it be. The cops must have reached your parents. They're waiting for you.
Hell.
I'll let you out here. Keep going, Terry. This is family business.
Spencer, will I see you again?
I don't know. We hardly live in the same neighborhood. But I'm around. Maybe I'll come by sometime, take you to lunch.
Or buy me some ice cream?
Yeah. That too.
Thanks.
I drove back to town, got my side stitched, and went home. It was dark when I got there. I sat down in the living room and drank bourbon from the bottle without turning on the lights. They'd given me some pills at the hospital, and combined with the bourbon, they seemed to kill the pain pretty well. I looked at the luminous dial on my watch. 6:45. I felt as if I'd been washed, wrung out, and was drip-drying. I also felt that spending the night alone would have me screaming incoherently by 3 a.m. I looked at my watch again. 6:55. I turned the light on and took off the watch. Inside, it still said Brenda Loring, 437-3676. I reached over and picked up the phone. Hello. My name's Spencer. You remember me?
Is that with a C?
No, with an S.
Spencer. Spencer. Give me a clue.
I'm the tall, handsome guy.
You're not the one with the shoulders.
Okay, I'm not tall and handsome, but I got nice eyes.
I thought you were hospitalized.
No visitors. I got lonely.
You weren't in long enough.
Look, I'm all out of jokes.
You've got a car, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a car.
You know how to drive, don't you?
Yeah, I know how to drive.
Then get in your car and drive over.
She had a good laugh. Full of promise. Hell of a lot of promise when you thought about it.
Gary Waldhorn played Spencer. Nikki Croydon, Terry Orchard. Stacy Hughes, Iris Milford. Bob Sherman, Lowell Hayden. Gay Baines, Judy Hayden. Harry Taub, Lieutenant Quirk. Bruce Boa, Roland Orchard. Margaret Robertson, Marion Orchard. Don Fellows, Tower. Alex Marshall, Mrs. Tower. Alan Tilvern, Dr. Forbes. Stuart Milligan, Dennis Powell. Karen Mann, Brenda Loring. Technical presentation by Richard Beedsmore, David Chilton, and Julia Nash.
Music composed and played by Ed Welsh, accompanied by Ron Asbury.
The Godwolf manuscript by Robert B. Parker was adapted from the novel and was directed by Peter King.